botanist Seth Gastelum.
And I'm Chris Dunn.
And this is episode 126 of the TV List video game podcast from TVList.net. Now available on Zune. Just kidding, Zune sucks.
What is Zune?
Got my hopes all up, too.
Zune sounds like an obscure Super Nintendo game.
Kind of, actually, it does. I had a Zune. I had the first model Zune, and I liked it. And then Microsoft pushed out Zune 2.0, and it destroyed like everything. Because it was very strange the way Zune worked. Like all iPods and stuff work with iTunes, but Zune didn't work with Microsoft's Media Player. It worked with a separate application that looked exactly fucking like it and pulled all the data from the My Music folder, just like Windows Media Player, whatever it's called. So I don't know why they did that. So you had to use a separate application entirely. And when I updated the Zune 2.0, you had to connect the Zune, and then it downloaded the new software on your computer, and it pushed it to your Zune device as well. And it mangled all my tags. It was pulling from the My Music folder, so I went over to the Media Player, everything looked fine. I was like, why is everything different? Like, one album had, like, my face, a picture of my face is, like, the album art. Like, I don't even know where did this come from? This picture's not even in the My Music folder. That's what led me to getting an iPod Touch and just sent me down the Apple road, was just Microsoft botching the shit out of Zune.
Good job, Zune. That's how you lost all your customers. Ever.
Or me, at least. I think my Xbox is, like, my only Microsoft device at all in my home. But, how are you guys? How you doing, Seth? You sound cranky.
Do I sound cranky? I don't know. I was up late. Well, Chris was up late, too. So, we were doing
stuff. And
I probably
got up earlier than you, and I don't sound cranky, so.
We were doing stuff together. Secret stuff.
Secret stuff.
No, I was streaming on Twitch all night, video games. I started at like 5:30, and then next thing I know, it was like 1 in the morning.
Now, Twitch, what do you use to broadcast Twitch? Do you use Flash Media Live Encoder?
No, I was using XSplit.
I don't understand, like, why... some people use Twitch, but I find it to be the most obtuse, unuser-friendly thing ever to broadcast. Like, why can't I do it just right? Because with Justin TV, you could do it right through Justin TV. I had to use another application called CamTwist, but now I have to use CamTwist and Flash Media Live Encoder, and as well as running a web browser window. And it's just like, this is like way too many fucking things to just broadcast me playing a video game. Not to mention, obviously, like the box and everything I have to have hooked up to capture the footage. It is. The most unuser-friendly thing ever. It blows my mind that so many people do it, because it is not a straightforward process.
I tried the Flash Live Media Encoder or whatever, and it just kept crashing with my shitty Dazzle capture device.
Wow. Now, mine doesn't crash, but I had to, like, input all these numbers. I had to read, like, 3 fucking FAQs on how to use it. I have to put in all these numbers and shit, and I don't know. It was just...
I could not get sound from the game and my microphone working at the same time, so I went just microphone, because Azam told me to.
I do just microphone and let, like, my TV or whatever broadcast the sound. I don't do, like, full, I don't feed the sound to my computer.
I was trying to do that. Apparently there's a way to do that. I was following, like you said, I followed like 3 different tutorials and all, like, and then just do this, and sound comes through. And I tried that, and every time I did the final step, I got nothing.
Wow. Yeah. See, that's why I'm kind of glad, like, the Xbox One and PS4 will do that, like, natively, because it is a pretty Byzantine process. It's really not straightforward.
I had wires just crisscrossing my room, like, because half are going to the TV and half are going to my computer.
That's another problem, is that there's a bit of a setup to it if you're doing it with a console. Like, it's not... I mean, I guess if you're doing it with, like an HDMI system, I mean, it's just, like, plug it in. But, I mean, there's some delay. Like, I have to split it. I have to split the signal. Half goes to my TV and half goes to the computer. Because there's a delay. I can't play it with the video that's streaming on my desktop, because there's, like, maybe, like, a half-second delay. Enough to fuck up your control.
Yeah, I mean, it's... It's fine for, like, if you're playing an RPG or something, but if you're playing an action game, then you're just boned.
Right. So I'm splitting the signal, so there's just it's just a pain in the ass process to set. I would love to stream more. Like, I actually like streaming. It's a lot of fun. But it takes so much effort to fucking do, and then half the time I feel like it just doesn't even fucking work. It's so
difficult. I had a good time, though. Like, at first I was just commentating by myself, but Chris got in the chat room. I was like, hey, does anybody want to get in on this call? I'll just call him on Skype, and we could chat with me while I'm streaming. And then Chris is all like, yeah, and then I got Chris. Actually, first I got a Zom on.
Yeah, you got a Zom on for some reason.
Just because, whatever.
I was like, I'll do it. You said, okay, oh, wait, a Zom's here? Fuck it. Fuck Chris.
Yeah.
And I can't much. Really blame you, because I figured a Zom would at least bring some entertainment to it.
I don't even know what he was talking about half the time.
No.
Yeah, then I got, Chris was on, and then one of our listeners, Confused Batman, was on for a bit, and then got Silver Mongoose on there, and he stayed with me and Chris, like, really late into the night. Mm-hmm. So, nice. It was good times.
Yeah,
it was good times.
Sounds like fun. What about you, Chris? What have you been up to? You gonna get in the streaming game?
You know, I thought about it. I mean, after watching Seth last night, it seemed like it'd be fun, but without having somebody else to talk to, I don't know what the fuck I'd say. You know, I'm not super used to commenting on the things that I'm doing in a game, so yeah. I'm sure it's like a little learning curve or getting used to it, you know, for anyone, I'm sure. So I might definitely look into that. We'll see.
I have a Mac, so, like, I'm very limited in what kind of devices I can. Like, I use Elgato stuff, and it gets pricey. Like, it's not cheap. Like, the current, like, I have two devices, one that captures specifically composite. And that's not the best device, and the application that goes with it is not the best. That's actually really difficult to do. So, like, I can't really stream, like, older consoles. And the newer one I have is actually designed to be, like, a sort of, like, DVR box almost. But because it opens, like, a live window, you can use it to stream, too, you know. I also use it to capture footage for game reviews. But that does component. It came with a dongle. That was supposed that you plug into, like, this weird, like, almost like it's a proprietary port, but it almost looks like micro USB or something. And you plug it in there, and then with the dongle, you can also use it to collect component footage. So I'm like, oh, great, I don't have to use this older one that with the shitty application. And I got it to never fucking work. And I'm like, son of a bitch. So now I have to use the older shitty one that I can use to capture footage, but I really can't do it to stream. And now with these newer machines being like HDMI, I'm gonna have to buy another one's fucking new HDMI, and they're not cheap. They're usually a couple $100.
Yeah, I want to get one of the good ones for HD, but like you said, they're a couple $100.
Yep.
So I'm sticking with my $30. Got it off. God, what is that website that just has daily deals? Woot. Got it off Woot. Mm-hmm. $30 Dazzle.
That's not too bad. Mm. Yeah, the Elgato stuff is good. I mean, well, that. The component one I have is good. I recommend it. But like I said, it's just you have to set up that box. You have to split the signal, so you got cables running everywhere, and you have like 8 million. I have to open like three applications plus my browser to do that. I have to open up the Elgato application, CamTwist, Flash Media Live Encoder. There's just a bunch of shit that's open all at once. So
yeah, that seems like a pain.
I think I'm gonna keep streaming because it was fun.
I had fun watching and listening too. So, I mean, we didn't have a ton of people in there, but the people who were there stayed for a long time. So obviously they seemed to be enjoying themselves.
I think I maxed out at 10 people who weren't me. I think 11 was our max in the room.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I want to try and stream some Fable. I want to play the original Fable. I was looking forward to Fable Anniversary. Shit got delayed. Fucking
what is Fable Anniversary?
It's an HD re-release of the first Fable for 360.
It's the only exclusive Xbox 360 game left.
Yeah. it's apparently they're like cleaning it up because like all the Fable games have frame rate issues. Like that's one big issue that Fable has. And apparently they're cleaning that up, and the first two have really bad like UI problems, like the menus and stuff, garbage. So my understanding is to clean that up. The Lost Chapters content is going to be in there. And I think they're doing some other additional stuff as well. And that was supposed to come out this fall. But they're like, oh, just kidding, February 2014. I'm like, oh.
Mm. Oh, well. It's a shame. I don't care in the slightest.
I know.
What have you been up to, Craigie?
What have I been up to?
Did we even do Chris? I don't even know if we asked what Chris was up to. If he answered, we just cut him off.
No, I think being involved with your streaming was the highlight of my week. So.
He was getting wasted on cider last night. It was funny.
Yeah, that's why I'm not drinking today, because I think I drank plenty last night. I was telling Craig that before we started.
I am currently drinking cider. I am drinking Crispin, which I like a lot.
Crispin's pretty good.
But you have to drink like a million of them because it's like 5%.
Yeah.
Anyway, this weekend, we're recording on Sunday the 15th, I went to the Lizzie Borden house, and for those not familiar...
Is it a bed and breakfast now? Is that what
it is? It is a bed and breakfast and a museum, and they do tours and stuff. It's the original house. All the furniture in it is not the original Borden furniture, but the two people that own it have, like, painstakingly, like, recreated from, like, crime scene photos and everything. Like, you look at some of these photos and you look at the furniture, you would swear it was the original furniture, but it's not. They go to auctions and antique stores and stuff like that. And it's most of the rooms are pretty true to what they were at the time of the murders. Now, for those that don't know Lizzie Borden, that was a huge news story in the late 1800s here in America, because it was the first national murder story. That was the first time the press used the wire for a story. That's probably the reason why it became so big. Probably would have been a local story. No one would have given a shit. But Lizzie Borden allegedly murdered her father and her stepmother by axing them in the fucking face. I think her mom like 19 times and her dad like, I don't know, a bunch of times too. He was sleeping on the couch in the parlor and she was in the guest bedroom. And all the evidence was circumstantial. There was no proof. There's really more like who the fuck else would have done it. I mean, that's really why she was on trial, because it's like, there's no one fucking here, Lizzie. You're the only one in the house. Who fucking did it? But all the evidence is circumstantial. Nothing was held against her. But it was
there's a song about it. I guess a limerick. Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks. When she saw what she had done, she gave her father 41.
Yeah, she didn't whack him that many times.
Well, then, this limerick is inaccurate.
Yes.
This will never hold up in court.
But really, one of the things that worked against her, I learned so much. It was really, really interesting. Like, if you live near, this is in Fall River, Massachusetts. So if you live in the area, staying at the bed and breakfast is really expensive. It's like $2.50 a night.
Holy shit.
Yeah, we stayed two nights. you stay and you get this tour between like 8 and like 11. Like, it's this really in-depth tour. There's a lot of information. It's really, really interesting. It's actually way more interesting than I thought it would be. But one of the pieces of evidence against her was that the way the law worked with who died first, because the stepmother died first, and then her father. And with the way inheritance worked, because there were no wills, or the wills went missing or something, because Mr. Borden survived Mrs. Borden, like... The inheritance goes to Mr. Borden's family. If it was the other way around, it would have gone to Mrs. Borden's family, so, like, Lizzie wouldn't have gotten shit. So it was important that her father died last for Lizzie to get money. And he was worth quite a bit. I mean, in today's money, apparently he was worth, like, somewhere between 10 and, like, 12, 13 million dollars. Because he was frugal as fuck. So
he wasn't actually like an entrepreneur of any kind. He just did not spend money on anything.
He was kind of an entrepreneur. There was a lot of Bordens in the area. They were all sort of like related, like, you know, third cousins or whatever. So the Borden name is kind of well known in that area. And his sect of the family, like, I don't know, someone like his dad, someone lost like all the fortune from his part of the family. So like he had like nothing. And he's like, fuck that noise. I'm getting my money back. So he was a man on a mission. Like he was kind of an entrepreneur. Like he owned businesses, and he was like, he ended up like being like the president of several banks. Like he worked his way up to do that. But in order to maintain his wealth, he just didn't spend it on like his house. Even though indoor plumbing like existed, they didn't have toilets, didn't have bathrooms. He's like, nah, fuck that noise. I'm not paying for that. So
sounds like my dad.
Yeah, they had an outhouse and a two-stall privy in the basement. So he's like, nope. That's how he maintained his wealth, by not having bathrooms. He didn't have electricity. Electricity existed. He's like, nope. Was it electricity? I think, nah, maybe it was a, I don't know what it was. They used kerosene. Apparently there's some other technology that was better than kerosene. Maybe it was electricity, I'm not sure. But he's like, nope, kerosene. And they would frequently run out. They'd just be in the dark at night. He's like, well, whatever, tough shit.
Well, I'm starting to see why he was murdered.
And then there was also allegations that, like, he molested Lizzie and her sister Emma. But, like, I don't understand. Like, man, they were old. Like, Lizzie was, like, 30 or something, and, like, her sister was, like, 9 years older than her. And they still lived at home. They never married, so they, I guess they just, like, lived with their parents or whatever. Well, stepmom was not parents to either one of them. She was stepmother to both of them, but... Yeah, no, it was really interesting, and it was really fun to stay there. I've never stayed at a bed and breakfast. It's very different from a hotel, because it's very communal. So... Uh-huh. People are more apt to talk to each other. The first night we were there, the first group, because most people don't stay two nights because it's pointless. You don't need two tours. But Emma wanted to stay two nights. The first group we had was very talkative. It was a lot of fun. There was a guy there writing, like, he's doing freelance work for Skeptic Magazine. So he's writing an article about that. He's really cool. He's really fun to talk to. No, there's a lot of fun people there the first night. Second night, like, man, there's some fucked up people the second night. Like, there's like this younger couple. I would say, like, early to mid-20s or something like that. And they came in like an hour into the tour, and the tour guy was talking about breakfast, and they're like, oh, no, we won't be here for breakfast. We got to leave early. The girl's like, I got work in the morning. And it's like, okay, so you come like super late. You know what I mean? And like I said, this is like $2.50 a night. And then like, I don't know, another half hour or so into the tour, she's like, oh, well, we got a movie to go to. It's Friday the 13th. It was Friday the 13th, so I guess I want to go see a scary movie. And I'm like, bitch, you're in the Lizzie Borden house. Like, Andrew Borden died over there on the couch. His face was crushed in with an axe. It doesn't get any scarier than this. So, but they went to this movie. They came back. Now, there's, I think they ended up leaving in the middle of the night, like maybe around 1 o'clock or so. I think what happened was, though, I think the boyfriend, because our room was right next to theirs. I think the boyfriend scared the shit out of her and she wanted to leave. Because the room next to ours, we stayed on the third floor. Now, only the maid lived on the third floor. And it was basically an attic. And half the attic was unfinished at the time of the murders. The other half has been fixed up for the bed and breakfast. The room we stayed in was named after Lizzie Borden's attorney. He didn't, like, live there. It wasn't his room, but it was named after him. And then the other room, I forget who it was named after, but that room they called the children's room, because apparently before the Bordens lived there, or maybe it was after, but I think it was before, a family lived there, and the mother threw her three children down a fucking well on the property, and two of them died. And supposedly people say that there are ghost children in the house. And they use that room. They have toys and stuff in that room for the children. And people swear, like, a lot of these people swear by the paranormal activity. Like, we saw a lot of, like, pictures and stuff. Some of it was pretty strange. And the tour guide, he's like, listen, I can only tell you what I've seen and heard. I'm not telling you what it is or what it is. I'm just, you know, relaying to you what I've seen. So he had some pretty interesting stories. But apparently, they were staying in the kids' room. And they left at 1 o'clock in a pretty big hurry. So unless something crazy happened, like, all the toys were strewn out on the floor after they left. So either, like, the children just these ghost children threw all these toys everywhere. I think he did. I think the boyfriend was playing with the girlfriend and scared the shit out of her, and she made him leave. That's what I would guess, but...
So they had a pretty good trip then.
Yeah, no, it was fun. I liked it.
They spent $2.50. How long would you say that they were there, like, total?
A couple hours, tops.
Ah, it's worth it. It's money well spent.
Well, I guess if you want to go to this house to get scared, it sounds like they certainly got scared. So
yeah.
They probably got their money's worth.
The second night we were there, that same night, there were two girls staying on our floor, and they wanted to do they're doing like all this weird like ghost hunter shit, and there was like a Ouija board and stuff. I'm like, ugh, you're not gonna get nothing.
Did you just move the Ouija board to mess with them?
I didn't play with the Ouija board.
Ah. Craigslist spoils for it.
Yep, yep. But no, it was a good time. I had a lot of fun. I really liked it. What else? I've also been collecting a lot lately, like older games. I'm sort of taking like this year to be like this, like, I don't know, like a last hurrah when it comes to collecting for me. I think whatever job I will get in the near future probably will not pay nearly as well as I was making. So I'm taking all this money I've stockpiled and using some of it to just basically do some, I don't know, end of the road collecting, because I don't think I'll be able to collect as much in the near future. And I've been buying a lot of games that were meaningful to me. Not necessarily sentimentally, although that too, but like games that were like, you know, like my favorite games like growing up. Like, I haven't had a copy of that for as long as I've been collecting. I never bought a copy of ActRaiser on the Super Nintendo. So, you know, like I bought a copy of that and stuff. Right now I'm also doing, getting all the Zeldas, like boxed, complete, all that jazz. And that's expensive.
You don't have that?
I don't. Mm-hmm. Why, do you?
It's not. Well, of course I do, Craig. The only ones I had to, like, go and rebuy were the NES and Super Nintendo ones. I already had all the other ones boxed for when they came out.
Yeah. Do you have the Tingle games?
I don't have the Tingle games, no.
I have all those now. The only two that I'm missing right now, and I'm just bidding on them, I'm bidding on the Game Boy Advance re-release of the first Zelda. Because I just want to get it cheap. I mean, I've been flipping, like, the loose games, and so it offsets the cost quite a bit, actually. It actually makes it still not a very practical thing to do, but it's not as painful.
More so than it was.
So I'm bidding on a copy of the Game Boy Advance release of the first one. And a copy of Four Swords Adventures, because I don't have the outer box. I just have the game case and the, mm-hmm. and of course the Game Boy Advance GameCube cord there. I probably threw away the box thing, like, yeah, whatever. Like, even as like a 20 something or a teenager, where the hell I was, I'm like, nah, fuck this. Even then I was throwing away boxes.
I think my box for that is out in the shed someplace in a giant plastic tote thing.
I still have that box. It's on my shelf with all my other games. I don't know why I kept that box, but...
No, you were smart to do it.
For some reason, I did. I'm glad I don't have to rebuy it, I'll tell you that, yeah.
Yeah, no. And, it, I mean, on the bidding right now, it ends, I don't know, in a couple hours. It's like 5 o'clock. It ends at, like, about 7. It's already... Last time I looked, it's already up to, like, $50.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. Shit. And that is bidding. That's not buying now, so that's... Yeah, it's gonna be painful. But the collecting's been fun. I mean, it's sort of, you know, early on in my collecting, I was collecting because I wanted to play these games. You know what I mean? Like, I was buying, like, loose carts. It didn't matter to me. So I was just buying whatever I could very cheaply so I could experience all these games. That was my primary motivation for collecting very early on, so I could have, like, this wealth of experience and knowledge about gaming rather than, you know, a lot of people relying on secondhand, oh, Metacritic says that's not a good game. Fuck you, asshole. I've actually played it. And so, like, I played, like, the Zelda CDI games. Like, that's, to me, that's valuable that I've actually played those games versus relying on what the internet tells me they're like, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was my early motivation for collecting. But now a lot of it's more skewed towards, I mean, I still want to play games. That motivation hasn't gone away. But it's more towards, like, preservation, both in terms of, like, a historical context, like preserving the games for the sake of preserving the games, but also in a way, like, preserving tangible forms of my memories, I guess. So it's been sort of, I don't know, cathartic. It's been nice.
Until you ran out of money, because you spent it all on video games and lizard boarding houses.
And trips to Japan. So.
You.
That's okay. I'm not spending that much. So anyway, that's me. That's me. I'm more interesting than both of you put together.
Thanks.
I think we knew that ahead of time, though. More than me.
Let's talk about some video game stuff. It's been already a half an hour, so let's probably do that. The only news I have this week is Sony announced the PlayStation Vita TV. And if you're not familiar with this, it's a small set-top box. Somewhat advertises like a, by other sites, as like a micro console, almost like the Ouya. It plays, it can download PS1 and PSP games, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And any, and it can also download Vita games. Now, it connects to your TV. It's a set-top box. You can play it using a DualShock 3 controller, which is not included like in the, with the console by itself. You just get this little console. Apparently in Japan, for about $150, you can get the console with an 8-gig Vita memory card and a DualShock 3. Console by itself is about $100. And you can play Vita games, but because there's no touch screen or touch like back panel, really prohibits you from playing some of the more well-known or critically acclaimed games on the Vita. So like Uncharted, Gravity Rush, Killzone, even the upcoming Tearaway, not compatible with Vita TV. Which I think really limits it. I don't know who this is for.
And it's funny because a lot of those games that you can't play on there, they just have really, really shoehorned uses of the touchscreen in there.
Oh, God, absolutely. Yeah. It doesn't need to be in Uncharted. It doesn't need to be in Killzone. Gravity Rush... Nope, I don't think it needs to be in there either. It's like these, like, there's like weird, like, racing. Like, one of your moves, like, to, like, slide or whatever, you have to touch the edges of the screen, I think it was.
It's the dodge, isn't it?
Something like that. Also, yeah. While you're, like, racing, there's, like, parts where, like, you're sliding or whatever, and, like, you need to use that to, like, lean or something like that. I don't know. It's been a little while. But in Tearaway, it sounds like a pretty vital component.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, it does.
So I look at this, and a lot of people are like, oh, it's Sony innovating yet again. And I go, who the fuck is this for, though? Like, who – I can see this appealing to specific people with specific uses for. Like, Seth said, like, I just want to play Ease. And if that's the case, you just want to play – you want it for it as an Ease box?
I will spend $100 to play Ease rather than, like, $250 to buy a Vita and play Ease. Because that's all I'm going to be playing for a long time.
Right.
As a stopgap solution, I think, because I don't think they've announced an official U.S. price, but their conversion price comes out to about $100.
Right. They haven't announced it for the West at all.
Yeah, they've only said Japan. I think it comes out in December.
Yeah.
I imagine it'll come here, but no, they haven't confirmed it as far as I know.
So I see it appealing to specific people with specific uses, or people just with money to blow. Oh, I want to stream PS4 games to the third guest bedroom. Fetch me my Vita TV. It's really sort of excessive. You know, if you want to spend $100 to stream your PS4, because that's something hypothetically it'll do in the future, is stream PS4 games to another TV. You want to spend $100 to do that, that's your chance to do that. But because it's not compatible with several Vita games, some of the more popular ones, it's almost like Sony's thinking, oh man, our handheld isn't selling. How do we make it worse? And so they put out Vita TV. People are saying it's some sort of competition to the Ouya, but I don't see this as a down market device because people say, oh, it's only $100. No, it's not only $100. You still need a Vita memory card, which are, if you haven't noticed, they're kind of expensive, and you still need a DualShock controller. And well, people have PS3s, right? People who have PS3s are not the down market though. So, if you want to appeal to down-market consumers, they're going to have to pay $150. And at that point, I'm sort of wondering if that's not really the down-market anymore.
There's a PS3 bundle out there that's only like two, isn't there? So, I mean, if you're going to spend $150, I would think, you know, spending $199 isn't that much of a...
But that's,
you know, not going to break the bank.
Right, but I still don't think there's much... I don't think a down market consumer is going to be looking at a PS3. You know, you're trying to appeal even lower than $200. Is there a $200 one? I'm not so sure about that.
I think that like that 12 gig or whatever, didn't that come out here?
I think was that weird when they only came out in Canada or something like that.
I thought I saw one in a. I don't know.
You might
I could
have,
be making that
have,
up
because there's just so many damn SKUs I can't keep track of them all myself. I think a lot of the down market looks at the PS3 as a luxury device because not only are you paying $200 for the machine, you know, the retail games are also quite expensive.
That's true.
So what I see is this really sort of the Vita TV, if it's going to appeal to anything more than just a few small pockets of people, if it's going to appeal to any wider demographic, it's just going to appeal to people who already own Sony stuff. It's just going to be an echo chamber. It's not going to be branching out in any significant way that I see anyway. I just can't. It might, but I don't see it happening. You know, some folks point out to me that like, oh, it's a competitor to the Apple TV. And I'm like, yeah, on paper, but I don't see it being in practice being a competitor. It's got the Vita name on it, which it's kind of toxic already. but it doesn't have iTunes or name recognition behind it. I don't. Hypothetically, it could be competition for the Apple TV, but I don't see it.
I have no idea what an Apple TV is.
It's a useless piece of shit. Is what it is. It just you can watch Netflix on it. You can.
I literally have what like four things connected to my TV that I could watch Netflix on.
That's my thing too. Like if people are going to buy this as something that's a competition to the Apple TV, why would you buy this over the Apple TV? I don't understand. It doesn't have access to iTunes, and like I need anything else that plays Netflix. So I just don't see it being that competent. On paper, it could be, but in practice, I don't think it's going to be.
Can you watch Amazon videos on the Vita? I don't know if you can.
I don't think so. I have not seen an application for that.
I know. I mean, I know you can on a lot of the consoles. I don't know about the Vita because I haven't really looked into it. But
yeah, I think
you know, if that was on there, I mean, Amazon has basically all the same stuff as iTunes, so that could potentially, you know, put all that stuff that you'd have on iTunes in there. But
again,
if that's
now
not
you're
there,
trying to convince like Joe consumer because Apple TVs are a wider market.
No, sure.
I don't know if you call them a down market device because it is kind of superfluous, even if the price is, you know, only $100. But, you know, you got to convince Joe consumer here, buy this thing by Sony with a name you don't recognize. You know, you have to buy these proprietary memory cards. Oh, you don't have a PS3. Okay, you got to buy this $50 controller. And, oh, now use Amazon Instant Video. Now, none of this other shit you might be used to. Like, I don't see being able to convince the average consumer. I mean, I have my aunt who wants to understand technology. She doesn't. She's not quite there. She's asked me how she can stream Netflix from her iPad to her TV, and I got to tell her she can't. She's got to buy something else. And she gets that now, but it's like the average person does not understand these things.
Yeah. I mean, I could see, you know, it being more appealing than an Apple TV because, oh, it can play some games too, even if it doesn't play all of the Vita games.
Which makes
But I mean,
more
you know,
confusing.
An average person like, you know, your aunt or my dad or whoever is not necessarily going to be looking for that when they're looking for a set-top box. So
it's. I mean, I just don't. I'm not trying to be too hard on it because it's like, well, if you want to stream your PS4 to another TV, there you go. If you want to play certain Vita games, there you go. Like, obviously, it's going to appeal to a few people. It feels like this weird half-assed thing that could have been better. I don't know. I don't know. It's a really good idea. It makes me wonder, once I saw this, and I see how, like, Sony's pushing indies on the Vita, it makes me wonder if they really misjudged how much people wanted a portable console. They should have just made a cheaper system that could just play, like, indie games. Like, instead, now they want people to pay, like, what is it, $250, $200 to play Hotline Miami? That's weird. Like, no wonder why no one's doing it. No wonder why it's not selling. They should have just made it cheaper. So now they're stuck with this behemoth hardware that's really expensive, and they're trying to push that hardware with fucking Sound Shapes. And Sound Shapes is a fantastic game. Fully endorse Sound Shapes. But I don't blame no one to spend over $200 just to play Sound Shapes.
Yeah. That's what's kind of so funny about this TV, PS Vita TV device coming out, you know, is that the Vita is getting these, you know, inferior versions of console games so that you can play them on the go. And now you'll be able to play those inferior console games on your TV when you could just play the real versions, you know?
It's a very strange device, and I think there's just too many little asterisks attached to its features.
Yeah. I'm interested in it, and I'll probably pick it up just because it's so cheap, and I mean, I have a DualShock controller, I have a Vita memory card, you know, so it'd be nice to play a Vita game on the TV or something, you know, like how I have a Game Boy player. I don't necessarily use it all the time, but it's nice to have. It's a nice little curiosity, but it's certainly not something I would pick up in place of a Vita, or even necessarily in place of an Apple TV, so... I'm kind of with you. You know, while I'm interested in it, I don't necessarily know who they're pointing this at.
I was just thinking, too, it'll probably a lot of, like, YouTube reviewers and stuff will be happy with it because they could get some direct feed footage from Vita games that are compatible with it anyway.
Right. There is that, too. And that's good. But like I said, these are small pockets of people. These are not demographics. But yeah, I mean, hindsight's 20/20. But man, imagine if, like, Sony had the foresight in making just, like, an indie handheld box, and they're like, "Oh, our indie handheld box is now our indie TV box." And, like, that would have been cool, but now they're stuck with, like, this really expensive hardware, because the Vita TV has a Vita, it's Vita guts. I imagine it would have been way cheaper if they didn't have such complicated hardware in there.
Yeah.
It's a shame. But, I mean, like I said, hindsight's 20. I don't even know why they went that way again. No one bought your console on the go mantra with the PSP. I don't know why the fuck you doubled down on it. Even less people care now. I mean, I don't think people really realize. The Vita's been on the market, like, 9 months longer than the Wii U. It has sold a million units less than the Wii U. People, like unanimously understand the Wii U selling like crap, but if the Wii U is selling like crap at that rate, what the fuck is the Vita doing then? It's a disaster, and I just don't think that this is how you help it. On the other hand, Sony did announce a cheaper version of the Vita that doesn't have the OLED screen, has a cheaper screen, and it's plastic and it's thinner and lighter, and now that's a better way to get the Vita out there, is by making a cheaper version of it. But the Vita TV, I don't know about that.
See, now should I like buy a Vita before they get rid of the OLED screen, or I just don't even know now.
Yeah, because I've seen comparisons. Someone posted some website, I forget where, I wish I could cite it, but some website posted comparisons, and there's no comparison.
Yeah.
The OLED looks nice.
Yeah, a lot of times when they announce these hardware revisions, I'm like, damn, I wish I had waited, but if they're taking out that OLED screen, that makes me happy that I have the original one.
Yep. They should just put some TV out thing on this thing. I don't know why I looked at it, I'm like, where's the TV out? Like, the PSP had that. The PSP could play it on your TV after PSP 2000, but you can't do it with the Vita. That seemed like a huge misstep. Huge misstep. But yeah, I don't know. It seems like a neat curiosity. I don't see it solving any of their problems, and I just don't know who it'll appeal to. So I see a lot of the SDF saying, "Oh, that looks no, you're wrong. It looks neat." And I'm like, "Yeah, you buying it? Well, no." It's like, okay, you only it does look neat, but it's not. I don't know who it's for. It's not for you. It's not for me. Like, I don't. No idea.
I like that ad where they were introducing all these different devices as well, where the Japanese university had their big Killzone tournament at the end of it. And I was like, yeah, I don't even think anybody in Japan cares about Killzone. Much less a university-wide competition. But I don't know. It was a cool ad. It was a cool ad showing all their devices and how they work together, but like you said, I can't really see most people doing all that stuff.
Yep. I think the biggest audience that will pick this up are people that are already entrenched in the Sony ecosystem, and for them it might be like a good pickup, something that can stream their PS4 games somewhere. You know, they can play, like I said, they could play Final Fantasy VII in the guest room. Like, you know, so it'll appeal to a few people, but it's not going to expand their market at all. It's just going to be an echo chamber. It's just going to appeal to people that already want Sony stuff.
So I was going to say, well, maybe it depends on how they market it, but I don't even know if they'll fucking bother.
Yeah.
Because they're Sony.
Who buys Sony stuff anymore except for their consoles?
I have no idea.
Who has Sony phones? Who has a Sony TV? Their TV division is doing like shit last I knew. I think the only thing, but to their credit, I'm really looking forward to the PS4, and I do like my Vita. So it's, you know, they're doing all, in my opinion, doing all right with video games, but I don't know who the hell else buys Sony anything else these days. I think other people do things better and cheaper than they do. My TVs are like Samsung and stuff. I don't know
stuff.
So, I don't know. We will see. We will see. Do you gentlemen have anything else you'd like to add?
No,
I don't think so.
Nothing happened ever.
I think that was the biggest thing. So Vita TV, people are focusing on that because it's such a bizarre thing, but there is a Vita revision. I think that's more important and can potentially help the Vita as a platform more than this Vita TV will.
But do we know when that launches?
I don't know. This year, I think. Is it later this year? I don't know. But, and of course, it's just in Japan. These things have not been announced for the West at all.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I wish people would look more into the Vita, but I don't blame them. It's an expensive proposition to just play handheld, to play indie games on the go. Because a lot of the you know, big retail stuff is just, it's a lot of it's lackluster in my opinion. You know, if you want to play Gravity Rush or Persona 4 Golden or even Kill, I'll talk about Killzone Mercenary later because I've actually enjoyed that. That's actually not a bad game. But it's just few and far between for these big name games, and it's just not worth plunking down so much money for largely games you can play somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't blame anyone for that. But it's a shame because it's a really, as a piece of hardware, it's a very nice system. All right, well then, let's go to the mailbag. The mailbag is available at tvlist.net. There's a giant banner. You can leave a comment there, and we'll read it on the air. We got a couple people who did. I asked for mailbag questions on Facebook, and then people put their mailbag questions on Facebook. So to reiterate, it's on tvlist.net. You don't really. There's no crazy.
It's a super easy link. It's tvlust.net/P=8455. I don't know why people can't remember this.
There's no complicated sign up process. Your information is not going to be used for anything. I don't care about. I really don't care about your email address. I don't. So it's in your best interest to do that. But we have Ilya. She asked, "Do you have any comments on Diablo 3 for the consoles?" And I do. I'll talk about that a little bit later. And
I'm sick of watching those stupid fucking orgy ads before every YouTube video.
What ads?
The Diablo 3 orgy.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
I've seen that commercial, yeah.
Like, some dude gets home and he sees, like, all these clothes strewn about, and then, like, he hears all this giggling and stuff coming from upstairs. Then he goes up there, and then his, like, wife and two of their friends are, like, LARPing while playing Diablo 3. They're all dressed up in their Diablo 3 costumes or something. I don't, but it like plays before every YouTube video I've been clicking on lately. Going crazy.
I haven't seen that. I think a lot of those ads are targeted. So like, I watched an Arctic Monkeys video from their latest album. So I just get Arctic Monkeys ads now. That's why I've been seeing lately. It's crazy because they're pulling them from what other videos you watch. So I got one for like, I was getting AFI ads for like a while because I watched the video from a song from their upcoming album that comes out next month. So I was getting AFI ads on everything. But at least in that case, it's stuff I care about. Like, I hate when I get like Christian singles. I hate when there's Christian singles ads on my videos. No one's clicking on that. This is not beneficial to anyone. Get out of here. Was it Christian Mingle? That's what it was.
ChristianMingle.com.
Get out of here.
Seen those commercials. Ugh.
Get out. Brian says, have you ever sold a game because it was too valuable to keep?
No.
No.
What?
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, what?
Are we afraid, like, ninjas are going to break in and steal it? Or maybe because you're just saying, like, it's worth so much money and you got bills to pay or something. And
you're like, or maybe you just can't resist the temptation. Maybe you own, like, a $10,000 game and you're like,
you won't chase the truck wagon. No, I have not done this. No, I don't think any of us have.
No, I have not even.
I did sell my loose copy of Earthbound, but that's because, I mean, I don't care about having it loose. I want to get it boxed. Probably when I hit the lottery at this point, because the value of it just keeps going up. Because it's all buy it now. No one does auctions for it. And they're like, oh, I want $500. It's not worth $500, dude. Get the fuck.
$500? Is it up to $500 for buy it now?
I've seen it for $500, yeah.
That's gross. I've seen loose copies go for like $2, so that's.
Oh my god!
I guess I can see why people would think they can charge that.
Yeah, I mean, I paid $70 for like my loose copy, and
I remember when I saw that at the Toy Vault, and I really wish I had gotten it at that point, but.
Well, I got my discount.
I want to get a box copy anyway at some point.
I got my discount on it, plus they're doing like some sale, so.
Yeah, I remember I had seen it and it had been like $100, so I guess after your discount and whatever, it would be about $70.
But, I got the loose copy for $70, which is a fair price for like a loose copy. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. They're going for they were going for about $100 on eBay, so. And then I sold it for like $150. So, you know, I made a little bit of profit on it, and I didn't care because I have Mother 2. I have it on the virtual console now. I mean, the loose cartridge just doesn't do me.
Yeah, it's just a manner to play it, and you already have that. So.
Right. As a collectible, I want it boxed. I mean, to have Earthbound like loose is just not – you're half-assing it, you know? So.
Yeah. I saw a copy in a local store recently for like $160, and I was like, ooh, that's kind of cool. But I already have it on the virtual console so I can play it, so it's not really, you know, for collecting purposes.
Right.
It's not worth having just the cartridge. So.
Nope, it's not. Nope, not for that game.
Certainly not for $160.
So I guess maybe you can say I have, but I that's not the way I looked at it. It was because it was too valuable. I was just like, eh. I don't really want it in this form, and I can, like, make, you know, more than double what I paid for it, so it's all good. And that was all from Facebook, so let's switch over to the actual mailbag where you're supposed to actually leave your comments. And we have Maria. Says, where have you guys been? I missed the podcast. Hope you stay this time. I hope you stay this time, too.
Oh, I mean, yeah, we're staying. Good times.
Daniel says, so you're going to Japan once again, I suppose it's a target at me. Do you have a shopping list? Not yet, but I should make one up so I'm not flying in blind. What are you looking for? Systems, games, merchandising? When it comes to games, not really systems, because they're kind of a pain to get back. If I see something for a good price and I can figure out a way, I got to lug it on the train back to the hotel. If I figure out a way to get it back home, yeah, maybe I'll do. I'd love to have like a, what is it called? Like a PC Engine, like Duo or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Turbo Duo?
Turbo Duo, thank you. Something to play the CD-based games and the card-based games. Because it's like, it's just not, I see, like, I want to get, like, card-based games. And I go on eBay and, like, everything's, like, Japanese. I'm like, why the fuck do I even have a TurboGrafx-16? What the fuck is this thing good for? So.
Wasn't there a CD add-on for the TurboGrafx-16?
Yes. Yep, there was an add-on, but I think the Turbo Duo just has, it's, like, one unit for both.
Yeah. I was looking at one of these a few months ago, and they're just expensive as shit on eBay.
They are. And the crazy thing is, a lot of Japanese stuff, there are some Japanese sellers that sell stuff for, like, pretty close to what you pay in Japan. Like, Hit Japan on eBay is pretty good. But there, I go on, and I see a lot of games that are, like, way more than you would ever pay in Japan. Let me see. I bought this game last time I was in Japan. It's called Metal Gunslinger, and it's for the GBA. It's because it looked interesting. I had no idea. I've never heard of this game before in my life. And it's fun. It's a run-and-gun game. It reminds me a lot of Gunstar Heroes, and I paid like $8 for this game. It was like nothing. And there's a lot. You get a ton of games for in that price, like $10 to $20. It's crazy. And I don't even see it on eBay right now. And I went to look for it on eBay when I got home. Shit was like $80 on eBay. It was one copy, it was $80.
Jeez.
That Ghostbusters Famicom game developed by HAL that was like making the rounds online. But like not that long ago, people were talking about it. That I saw that in a game shop, and I was going to buy it. And I was doing some shuffling, so I was going to pick up this, wasn't going to build up and put this back, whatever. And I am putting it down, which I hate myself for now. They had a bunch of copies. They were cheap. They were like $12. Come home, it's like $1 million on eBay. I'm like, are you crazy? You can find these anywhere in Japan. They're like $12, boxed, complete. So,
a lot of times just going between like Yahoo auctions and eBay and looking at the discrepancy in prices is pretty crazy.
Yeah, people are totally gouging on those prices. It's nuts. But mostly games, and I'm going to have a list. I mean, there are a few things I like to get.
I'm going to try to get Craig to buy me some stuff while he's there.
Yeah, you can shoot me a list. Chris, you can too if you want. And I'll take a look. Because I tend to spend like an entire day in Akiba, like in just a whole day, and I do most of my shopping then. But I'm usually there for a while, so like I might even spend 2 days. And I'm going with like a nerd this time, so I might end up spending a little bit longer. But yeah, shoot me your list. I'll see what I can do. But yeah, mostly just games. Mostly games. Older games, newer games, and it's like I said, it's part of like what I'm doing. You know this year with just sort of like one last hurrah for collecting. And it's kind of nice I'm going to Japan at the same time because I can just get a bunch of Japanese games. I've been holding off on buying Japanese stuff on eBay, knowing that I can get it for cheaper in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So, timed well, and I'll be able to splurge a bit, and probably won't be collecting much more after that. Not retro stuff, anyway. Is there anything else of interest outside the realm of gaming? In terms of purchasing stuff, I tend to bring home, like, little trinkets. Like, I have, like, charms and stuff I get from, like, temples. I have, like, stuff from, like, Tokyo Tower. I mean, some of it's souvenir-y, some of it's cultural. I have, like, a bento box that I got on Kapabashi Dori, which is, like, a street that's all for, like, cooking supplies and, like, restaurant stuff. So, yeah, I mean, some of it's... I do buy stuff that's outside of the realm of gaming, but I don't... That's not really... I go there to buy game stuff, and then I have experiences that aren't gaming, so I go to, like, temples and stuff like that, so... It's more about the experiences when it's outside of gaming. He says, have a great trip. I'd like to spend my birthday there as well, but alas, I have no money and they decided to splurge for us deprived ones. I will, and then I'll make several videos gloating about it, so. Johnny, 2900, says, with the announcement of the Vita TV, I figured it would be best to ask what you think to be the best peripheral and the worst peripheral you have ever used or owned for a game system. My favorite peripheral would be the Game Boy Player on the GameCube. It just feels great to play old Game Boy games on a big screen from GB to GBA. My least favorite peripheral would have to be the Wii Wheel. The piece of plastic just felt very constraining for what I was tempting to use it for. What do you guys think? What's the worst peripheral you've ever used?
Worst peripheral.
It's hard to really consider the Wii Wheel a peripheral because it doesn't even really add anything.
It is a peripheral, though. I mean, it's
plastic. I mean, I guess it is, but I don't know.
The U-Force is really bad.
Have you actually used that?
It's sort of it tries to. What it's marketed as doing is reading your gestures as you like punch or whatever over a surface. So, like in Mike Tyson's Punch Out, like you just throw air punches.
Right, but you're just cutting like infrared. Lines or whatever, like triggers or whatever, right?
I guess, but it doesn't work. And like reads half your movements and it's not and when it does it's very like laggy and inaccurate. It's just it's awful.
You have it though, you've used it?
I do have it. My stepdad gave it to me maybe a couple years ago. He's all like, oh, one of my relatives was cleaning out their attic and they found this. And it was like in a box and everything. It was like, wow. I assumed they used it once and went, oh, this shit doesn't work, and put it back in the box and threw it in the attic. So, yeah, my stepdad gave it to me a couple years ago, and I hooked it up and tried it out, and I went, this thing is a piece of shit.
I've never used that. And for the uninitiated, what is U-Force, Seth?
It's for the NES. It's like an optional controller for the Nintendo Entertainment
System. Yeah, you punch over a surface. But really, it's not the surface that reads it. It's like the two bars or whatever that you're punching through, and you're breaking like an infrared connection between the two of them, right, or something like that.
Something like that. It's sort of, let's see if I can remember what it looks like. It looks like sort of like a battleship game that you set up. Yeah, it's like one player battleship is what it looks like. But yeah, it doesn't work good.
I don't know what the worst peripheral I've ever used. I don't know. I don't have a worst. Nope, can't think of nothing.
Nothing at all.
No, because I mean, I haven't used that. I haven't used anything that bad. I mean, I've used stuff that's less interesting or less useful than other things, but nothing I would call like bad or anything.
Yeah, like even the Game Boy printer. I like the Game Boy printer.
Yeah. Mm. What about you, Chris? You have a worse one?
No, I mean, I've seen some that I thought would not be good, but I've none that I've ever actually used.
Right.
You know, if there's anything that I thought, well, that doesn't look like it'd be a good peripheral, I just didn't try it. There's none that I've, actively sought out thinking it would be good, and then it disappointed me. Nothing that comes to mind.
What about the best, Chris? What's the best one you've ever used?
Maybe Wii Motion Plus. I mean, I like the idea of just adding, making that more precise, because, motion controls were such a cool idea. I mean, I was actually pretty satisfied with Skyward Sword when all was said and done. I know you weren't, Craig, but I think Motion Plus definitely added a lot to, the Wii Remote and lived up to a lot of the promise that it originally had.
Yeah, so I think Craig and my problems with Skyward Sword doesn't stem from the motion controls at all.
Right.
Actually, the motion controls in that are terrific.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah, I don't mean to make it sound like you guys didn't like that. I enjoyed Skyward Sword as a whole, but that was definitely a big part of why I enjoyed it. I thought that the motion controls definitely added a lot to the experience.
For me, I don't know what the best peripheral, but the one I've enjoyed the most, just simply because it was so surprising and fun, is the peripheral that comes with Slide Adventure Mad Kid for the DS, which is a Nintendo published game that only came out in Japan, and it connects to the GBA slot. And it's basically like an optical mouse attachment. Your DS is like propped up at you, and you slide it around to maneuver your character on like a desk or something. And it works really, really well, and the game's really fun. So, I mean, I don't know if that's like the best or whatever, but that's one I've enjoyed probably the most. I thought that was very surprising and a lot of fun.
I think the best peripheral is easily the stand for Kid Icarus Uprising.
I was actually going to see. If, I was actually going to suggest that. So I'm glad you.
I'm going to go with Johnny and say that the Game Boy Player because I love that thing.
That is a great peripheral. Yep. Johnny also says that he's been playing Animal Crossing New Leaf, Sonic Chronicles, which, I'm sorry, man. Adventure Time, Hey Ice King, and New Super Mario Bros. 2, while anticipating Pokemon X and Ace Attorney 5. Good bunch of games, except for Sonic Chronicles.
Except for Hey Ice King.
Have you played Sonic Chronicles?
No, I've watched gameplay videos on YouTube just to see what it's like, and just the music in that game is the worst fucking thing I've ever heard. That
is
I
so bad.
I have no desire to play that game ever.
I can't even, dude. I can't explain it. Clock Blocker says, "What do you think of the new Pixie songs?" I've only heard a couple. One of our friends, Seth, Peter, said that he liked one of them, and I haven't heard it yet,
You'll remember Peter, right? From that one episode.
He did write a couple articles, and he was on an episode many moons ago. Yep.
And then he disappeared.
He's taken to hating everything I like. I don't know what's up. Peter's very antagonistic lately.
Yeah, it's funny.
He's a huge butthole. And I don't bite. I'm just like, whatever. And he's like, I'm drunk and I want to fight. I'm like, tough shit, dude. You're going to have to figure something else out. I'm not biting on this shit. Fuck you, Peter. I don't like them. And I think that's a pretty common opinion. They're not well-liked. But I only dug up a couple. I haven't heard the one Peter said he liked. So maybe I'll check that out later. Nathan says, this question is for Craig, since he's the only one of you I know who's played it, but if Seth or Chris have, feel free to chime in as well. Can you give your thoughts on Gone Home? I just played it last night and really had no idea what to expect going in. After I was finished, all I can say is one of the most quote-unquote real games I've ever played. I don't know how else to describe it. I've never played a game that told so much about its characters in such subtle ways. I really hope we get more experiences like this, because I really found it moving in ways I didn't expect. Anyway, keep up the awesome. Didn't I talk about this game? I thought I did.
Yeah, you talked about it last week.
I'm pretty sure you did, yeah.
Last week I did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I guess it's a recap. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. We need more experiences like this.
My original plan for Saturday night was to actually download and play this game, but then I got caught up streaming all night.
So I would recommend it. Do not. Here's all you need to know. It's like a first person like adventure game in the vein of like a point and click game. Although you have direct control, you wander around. You have direct control of your character, but you pick up objects. You can look at them in this giant house on a stormy night. That's all you really need to know. It's fairly short, but do not look at anything else about this game, because you will ruin it for yourself. It's impossible to talk about. I mean, if you really want me to like analyze the game, it's impossible to do so without spoiling things. But I don't want to. I want people listening to this podcast, if they are going to check this game out, to check it out like unspoiled, untainted, because that's the way it needs to be played. And I just do not look anything up for it, because it really surprised me. I sat back after I played that, and I was like, wow. And when I bitch about narratives in video games, I want to see more stuff like this, narrative-wise. I want to see more stuff like this. I'm tired of playing some middle-aged asshole, saving the world from aliens or brown people or whatever. You know, I want to play things that are more human. Like, it's almost like reading every book being a book about the fate of the world in the balance. Because that's what every video game is like. You know, like, not every movie, not every book, not every TV show is about the fate of the fucking world. So why is every video game about that? It's frustrating and annoying.
Sounds like you need to play more Madden, Craig.
Nice. So, it was just a really surprising game, and it told stories in many subtle ways, and some of it's a little, it's a little video gamey. Some of this stuff just, maybe wouldn't happen in real life. But it's not outside the realm of possibility. And it told a really great story really well. And I had a lot of fun exploring the house. It was a terrific game. I really recommend Gone Home. And you guys should play it too, goddammit.
I wanted to.
I want to.
I blame Chris for...
I blame Chris too.
Goddammit, Chris.
Hey, I just wanted to see some Gunstar superheroes, okay?
Noah says, I recently completed Shin Megami Tensei 4, and just my luck, I got the bad ending. Personally, I'm not really bothered by this, as I don't get too stressed out, over endings as a whole. My question for you, Bunch, today is, what do you think of multiple endings in video games? there's multiple endings in video games, I usually just get the one and move on with my life.
In, like, long games, I hate multiple endings. Like in, I don't know, Fallout or something.
Yeah.
In shorter games, then they're fine. Or in games where that's the entire point of the game, is such as, like, 999 or Virtue's Last Reward. Yeah, then that's fine, too. But otherwise, if it's, like, some long-ass fucking 80-hour Western RPG or Japanese RPG and there's multiple endings, I hate that shit so much.
I don't have nobody wants to play through a, bother with
nobody it. Wants to play through an 80-hour game a bunch of times to get... Oh, especially when, like, it's some, like, bullshit stuff that you don't even know you have to do, like in Final Fantasy X-2, where you pretty much need a guide from the start if you want the best ending.
What is it? Star Ocean, the second story, has, like, 84 different endings.
That's stupid.
I really don't care. I just see my ending as my ending that I got from how I played the game. And I
I can't do that. No, it'll drive me crazy.
No, I'm not surprised.
No, I'm with Craig. I mean, I don't get too stressed out, you know, over having multiple endings. I think as long as whichever one you get is satisfying, I'm happy with that. I don't feel the need to go and, you know, play all the other ones. Of course, you know, even games that have just one ending might not be satisfying, so who knows if that's even the case, but if I wouldn't like if there are multiple endings and one of them is, you know, lousy as to encourage you to play it again, if it's a long game like that, but as long as the ending is satisfying for what you played, then I think it's fine.
I like older games. Why can't I think of any off the top of my head? But it's like, oh, now beat the game on hard if you want the real ending.
I hate that. That can go fuck. Now that's what I actually hate, because that can go fuck itself.
Contra 4.
Contra 4. That's one.
That's
funny shit.
That's kind of bullshit.
Or sometimes, like, I've heard of games. There have been games where, like, you play the easy setting and you only get, like, certain levels. Like, they'll just cut out entire, like, oh, you want the next 5 levels? Play on medium.
I think, like, Turtles in Time does that.
Yeah. Stupid. Garbage. Don't do that. That's not what makes it easy. You just gave me half a game. That doesn't make it easy.
Actually, Contra 4 does that for sure. That's another Contra 4 thing right there.
Ugh. Garbage.
So, Contra 4 is just hitting all those right notes.
You don't cut content based on difficulty settings. That's stupid. That's stupid and lazy. I hate that. Alright, well then, let's move on here. We got D says, I started listening to the podcast earlier this year, and I'm already at episode 121. That is a dedication. I'm surprised you didn't stop at, like, episode, I don't know, 3. Have any of you guys played DLC Quest? Keep up the great work. I don't believe any of us have. I certainly have not. But I don't think you have.
No.
I have not.
It's a little game. I know it's on Xbox Live Indie Games, but it spoofs, you know, games having downloadable content, where everything in the game is quote-unquote downloadable content. You have to earn all your abilities with you get money, and if you want to jump or whatever, you have to buy it or whatever. So basic things, you know, very basic things you have to buy, you have to unlock with money. So that's the concept. I've not played it. Johnson says, hey, Craig and friends, I just recently finished Hotel Duskroom 215. Got it for $3. Didn't expect it to be an awesome game.
Somebody taking a massive shit behind you, Craig?
It's fucking Sunday, man. What have I told you about this?
Somebody sounds like they're in pain.
I don't even know where they are. I am 99.9% sure I've said this on the podcast, but man, if I had friends over and we yelled and screamed while playing video games the way these fucking stump necks do over football, we'd get yelled at. And for some reason, like, that's less socially acceptable. Look at these nerds yelling at them. I have more impact on what happens on a TV screen than you do. Why should I not be able to yell?
Dump necks, that's my favorite.
That was awesome.
I fucking hate it. I don't understand people who whoop and holler at the TV. I play games and I have an impact on what goes on that screen. I'm still not yelling at it. What the fuck are you doing? I don't get it. I just don't. And I hate, and I have to put up with it. That's the worst part.
I've never understood when people are like, yeah, we won. No, you didn't. You didn't do shit.
You sat in your underwear and ate nachos, for Christ's sakes. You didn't do anything, stump neck.
Stump neck. Oh, I love that.
I'm just picturing these people with these thick necks, like their face is turning bright red and veins.
Like, I just picture Henry Rollins whenever you say stunt neck.
That's good. Jocelyn goes on to say, I know about the sequel Last Window, which I hear is even better than Hotel Dusk. That's a good game. I actually really liked Hotel Dusk. Basically, do you guys have any recommendations for good adventure / visual novel games? Peace out. Love, Johnson. Gone Home. And I'm going to grab another Crispin. You guys can talk about 999 or Virtue's Last Fuck like the fuck ever.
That's not going to take very long. Just play those games that Craig just said because they're super fucking good. And you need to play 999 before you play Virtue's Last Reward. That's the law. I'm pretty sure it's illegal to do otherwise. And then also play the Ace Attorney games.
Yes.
All right, and we were good.
And Walking Dead is good, too.
And play that.
Play what?
Walking Dead.
Did you? I don't know if I guess maybe I'm just. I thought I would like that. I thought it'd be like Hotel Dusk or Gone Home. It'd be like one of those cross genre games that I generally don't like the genre, but I would like the game. I'm like, I don't know. I thought it was all right. Didn't really do it for me, I guess, though.
Yeah, I think you already mentioned hating it.
I don't hate it. Just wasn't, not my thing.
Worst game ever, I think, was your quote.
Yeah, I believe he did say that.
Danchi says, I'm sure you have already talked about it, but did anyone else find the reaction to the Vita TV a little surprising? It's neat, I guess. What reaction are you talking about? Because there were two camps on my Twitter. There were people that are like, and mostly it was interesting because a lot of them were journalists. A lot of them were like writers and stuff that were like, I mean, people like Arthur Geese and GPD were like, what the fuck is this? So, like, a lot of, like, more prominent people who do host podcasts and write about games were like, what the hell is this? It was mostly, like, fans that were like, yeah, this is great. I'm going to get 5. So there was a split reaction, but I guess both of them were kind of surprising. I'm just like, well, whatever. It looks like this thing that no one's ever going to fucking buy. He says, it's neat, I guess, but I think PS1 games are a little too close to nostalgia now, and I don't think there's much pull in the PSP, PS Vita brand. I don't think so either. The PSP hardware sold like something like in excess of 60 million units. It actually was a healthy selling system. No one fucking bought any games for that though, because because in the West it was basically to run custom firmware. People just used it to play like fucking Nintendo and stuff on it.
And you could load it up with ROMs and pirate PSP games, and nobody bought anything.
No one bought anything, and in Japan it was a Monster Hunter player. You know, I don't think very many games sold very well on the PSP. At all. So, yeah, it was just a shame because the PSP was a great system and it actually has a really. Its library is far more interesting than the marketing or its detractors would have you believe. There's actually some really great games on the PSP.
And they're cheap now? If you go on Amazon or something, just browse through PSP games, like starting from the lowest, and you can just find a bunch of awesome games.
Which contrasts sharply with Japan. PSP games have held crazy value there. They're compared to the U.S. counterparts, shit's expensive. These PSP games, it's nuts how much value they hold. PS2 via Gaikai, maybe, but I think an Amazon box with better streaming capabilities and access to the Android App Store would/will be a way bigger deal, especially since they tend to advertise their products. It's a good point. I mean, marketing, name recognition, that's going to make a lot of difference. People are going to like, it's a Sony Vita TV, and they're going to be like, eh. So, I don't know. We'll see. I think it'd be interesting to be surprised by this and then see what Sony does with the micro console market. But I don't know. I don't think they didn't know how to market the PSP. They only have no idea how to market the Vita. I don't have any idea how to market. They only know how to market consoles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So I just don't see them. And I mean, like, traditional consoles, not like a Vita TV kind of console. So I don't know. We'll see. It'd be interesting to see their marketing technique for this. Azam says, so I bought Ni No Kuni from PSN, and after the 81 gig download, which took 12 hours, I love this game so much, it might be my favorite game this year. He says something else, and it's really stupid, so I'm not reading it. And he says, just wanted to say, Seth, I loved your stream last night. I had so much fun yesterday. Thanks for doing the live stream. Thanks for talking with me on Skype. Hopefully we get to do it again soon.
How cute.
I'm glad Azam eventually went to bed. Because he was complaining. He was complaining for a good hour that he was so tired.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was crazy. It was craziness.
It sounds like a really crazy party you kids
had. It was.
It was awesome.
Chris was drunk. Silver Mongoose was drunk.
Playing some boxing game.
I was playing a Japanese boxing game. It was craziness.
That does sound like fun.
We missed out. Everybody was saying hashtag fuck Craig.
Shh. That was a secret. You're supposed to tell them that. Guys, see what happens, Chris? This is why we don't invite you anywhere.
Did that happen?
See, the thing is, if you hadn't just said that, Seth, he would have thought I was joking.
Did that happen?
No, it didn't happen.
It did not.
Okay. I would have laughed if it did. I mean, not a big deal, but you guys are mean. All right, let's talk about games we've been playing here. I played, I don't really think I played a couple games worth talking about here. I played Diablo 3 on console, and it's a really good adaptation. It takes a minute, because if you play the PC version, then you just jump right into the console version, which is, for the most part, exactly the same. Getting used to, like, the UI and the menu, it's going to take a minute. Because, I mean, I'm used to just, like a PC, like, window coming up from where I can go through my inventory. Like, this is very different, and I think almost confusing. You know, they adapted the inventory system for consoles, and I really didn't understand it. I'm not so sure I do yet. But maybe I'll get there. I don't know. It's all right. They definitely did put an effort to adapt it to console, though. It's not just a straight, like, PC window that's, you know, designed for a mouse and drag and drop and things like that. Mm-hmm. So they did put in some effort in adapting it. But, I mean, you have, like, 6 skill buttons. You have the ABXY, right bumper, right trigger. Like, there's, like, whoa, what's mapped to what? That's kind of confusing. And you don't have to, I mean, obviously you don't click on corpses to, like, loot them, right? Because there's no mouse. But you don't even press A or anything. You just walk over them. And then, like, the loot will pop out. Which I wasn't sure. I'm like, how do I loot these bodies now? And you have to walk over them.
Is that better or worse?
It's better, but it's only better if you understand that's what you need to do. Because no one explained that. There's no manual. Because this is a modern game. There's no manual. And nothing in the game told me to do that. So I'm trying to figure out how to loot things, thinking I'm missing out. You know, walk over them. A couple of things that are really good about the console version is that you can quickly equip things. So, like, if you get a piece of loot and you just need to walk over it, and you can quickly equip it using D-pad up. So, like, it'll give you, like, a very brief, like, arrows pointing up if it's good or whatever. And you can, like, and so if you're just in the heat of battle, you go, yep, and you can just equip it. And if you want to take a look at, like, any, like, modifiers or whatever it does later, you can do that when it's less heated. And it's also very convenient for this next benefit, and that's you can play, there's 4-player couch co-op, which is mm-hmm. really nice. So everyone's not opening their menus or anything like that.
That's the point that Orgy ad keeps trying to drive home at me.
Right. But that's largely why I bought it again. Because, I mean, I own the PC version, well, the Mac, whatever. I own the computer version. I played it a ton. I really enjoyed it. But I bought the console version so I can, you know, I can play couch co-op with, like, Emma. Actually, Emma played Diablo. The only game I've really ever seen her play is, like, The Sims. She plays the shit out of The Sims. But apparently last summer she played a lot of Diablo as well, but that's before we met. So I picked it up so we can play together. But, no, it's a really good adaptation if you missed out on it on computer. This is a really good alternative. It plays really, really well.
And if you miss out on it on PS3, you could get it on PS4.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Is that a thing?
It's also on Xbox.
All right.
I have the 360 version.
Oh, okay.
So... Yep, I do believe it's also coming to the newer consoles. I also played Killzone Mercenary on the Vita. And I went back and forth on this. Actually, the only new game this month I was going to pick up was Rayman. And I ended up picking up also Killzone and Kingdom Hearts 1.5. And Killzone Mercenary really surprised me. It's not perfect. Like, I have problems with it. Like, it has a lot of reliance on, like, touchscreen gimmicks, and they're not really fun. They're not fun gimmicks. They're really kind of annoying.
Man, you mean I can't play this on my PS TV, my Vita TV?
You cannot, but I didn't think you were really tempted to play it anyway. like melee attacks. Like, you press triangle when prompted to melee attack someone, and then you got to swipe the screen in a direction that they show you. It wasn't fun in Uncharted Golden Abyss, and it's not fun now. It's stupid, and I don't want to do it. And then there's just like other things. Like there's like a hacking mini game. So much hacking. Why do you think everyone like how? What is, I don't understand why how everyone's a fucking hacker in action games. He trained with a gun, but he also has the mind of a genius. And hacking never makes any sense. I'm matching like Trivial Pursuit pieces or something in this game, and I'm just like this doesn't. This is dumb. Take everyone. Do not put hacking in your games. Just don't. No one wants to do your hack. I want to connect pipes.
I think the first time I like really had a hack a lot in an action game was BioShock, and it's just like one of those fucking mini games where you like make the fluid connect by moving pipes around. It's like a Professor Layton mini game.
Yeah, yeah. it's actually pretty tough. It can get tough in Killzone Mercenary because you have to really. It's a lot of like you really have to have like good. Maybe not spatial awareness, but you really have, I don't know, like, I can't explain it well over the podcast, but you have to match, like, shapes, and you have stock shapes, and you have to, I don't know, it's very strange, but you're also timed, and there might be a series of them, so you got 30 seconds to run through, like, three series of them, and you're like, fuck, and it can be pretty hard. I've tried them over, and there's no penalty for failing, except for the fact you have to start all over again. But, man, there was one I sat out for, like, 15 minutes because I wanted the fucking intel. It was optional. I just fucking wanted it. I was like, you're not getting me down hacking. So the hacking, the touchscreen stuff, stupid. I don't like it. And there's also a heavy reliance on sort of the Uncharted method of action where you come to an area and it's like, then you have to fight off waves of enemies because, like, the door's locked or your partner's jerking off in another room or something. So then you have to fight off, like, 30 people. And the game does that a lot. But those are my only complaints. Otherwise, it's a really well-done first-person shooter. I really like the Killzone brand of sci-fi. It's quite nice. I don't think they use it as well as it could be used, but it has a really nice sci-fi universe. It's not too Star Trek-y, but, you know, it has a very down-to-earth kind of sci-fi thing going on, which I like. The graphics are gorgeous. I mean, I don't think I need to state that. I mean, if you've seen this game in motion, it's crazy. It looks fucking awesome. And a lot of the shooting feels really good. You earn money because you're a mercenary, which goes really nicely with, you know, the fact that you're playing on a handheld. You know, like, I'm a mercenary on the go and go wherever I want. And so they kind of tie in that in thematically, I think. And so you earn money, kills, you earn more for a headshot, you earn, you know, so much for, like, a stealth kill.
What employer is like, oh, did you kill him? Yeah, where? In the head. Oh, that's worth $500 more. What sick, sadistic person is paying you to shoot people in the head?
Well, do you know the Killzone plot?
I do not know the Killzone plot.
It's really hard for me. It's really hard to identify with either one of these people as, like, the bad guy. But basically what happened was, I don't know, Earth was destroyed. I don't know, something. So a bunch of colonists were sent out to a planet called Vecta to colonize it.
Uh-huh.
And the colonists were like, well, fuck y'all, this is our planet now. So they wanted independence. And ISA or whatever, this governing body, is like, nope, fuck you. So they came and fucked up the colonists, and they moved to a nearby planet in the system called Helgen. And now they build up their army, and now they're all fucking super pissed. They all sound Russian, too. It's some latent Cold War shit, if you ask me. And now they all just launch attacks on Vecta because they're like, this is our planet. And Vecta's like, holy shit, they came out of nowhere and blew us up. So it's kind of like, I don't know, maybe you should just left the colonists alone. Like, but although Helgans, you guys are kind of buttholes for attacking the people on Vecta. I don't know. No, everyone here is a dick, basically, in this game. So it doesn't surprise me that I get more money by stabbing some guy in the skull with my knife because everyone's a butthole. All
right.
But there have been some really fun missions. Like, there was this one where I had to, I should say some fun moments in some fun missions. I don't want to oversell the fun. But but there was one where I had to rescue, like, this ambassador from, apparently there's an embassy. Like, there's a Vecta embassy on Helgen. I don't, like, in the middle of a war.
But you told me they hate each other.
They do! So I don't know why that's there. I was very surprised.
That sounds like the worst job to get.
That is the worst job to get. It is. That is a suicide job. So I had to go in and, like, rescue this guy. Turns out he gets shot in the face, so it doesn't matter because they fucking hate him. But what was really cool is that, like, I had to, like, then escort his son out. And it's not really an escort mission. I don't have to really worry about the son. He worries about himself. But the son's the ambassador's family, like, bodyguard. He's like this hulking guy with like a chain gun, is still alive. So like as we're storming out of the embassy, there's like just tons of people come in. He's mowing them down, and I have to like strategically like hide behind him while taking out guys with like rocket launchers, because the guys with guns don't really hurt him. So I have to like take out like people with rocket launchers on the roof and stuff. It was actually a lot of fun. It was really chaotic, and it was really well done. So there's some really fun moments in that game, and the multiplayer is super competent. The multiplayer is super well done. My only complaint, which is not targeted specifically at Killzone, but just in general, I have to lament the death of like bots. Like I want to play multiplayer single player, and I wish more games did bots, particularly on a handheld. Like it makes more sense to be able to do it on it. Like sometimes I just want to kill people with no context, and I don't want to go online and look for a game and worry about connection issues. Or I just want to shoot dudes, and I don't see why putting in bots would be all that difficult. I don't think it would be at all.
And the AI's already got to be there from the single-player game as well, right?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. So I wish more games did bots. I know this is not 1998. We're not playing on the Nintendo 64, but I like bots. I want to play multiplayer as much. I just don't – people online are better than me. I don't want to play with them. And sometimes you're not even – you're playing on a handheld. Sometimes you're not even near a Wi-Fi source. So it just seems really strange to just – they get like bots. Eh, no. So – I don't know why. I don't know why they do that. So
I was like surprised when I bought Need for Speed for the Wii U, and there was like no local co-op. I was like, "What the hell is this shit? It's a racing game. How is there no local co-op in this?"
That's nuts. Because they want to sell more copies.
It's crazy. It's craziness. I don't know why they're taking this shit out of video games.
I agree. See, bots won't change how many people buy your game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, local co-op, I understand from a business perspective why they don't want that. It's stupid. Like, I wish there was local co-op, but bots doesn't make any sense. That's not harming no one. That's not going to sell any more or less. It might even sell more copies of your game if there are bots in there. I know plenty of people that don't play online multiplayer because their skills just aren't up to snuff to people who play it like hours at a time, and it's not fun for them. But they want to shoot dudes with no context. And I get that, and I wish there were. I'm like that sometimes. I wish there were bots, but
yeah. No,
it's a shame.
Yep.
And I'm trying to think, but I think that's pretty much all I played that is worth talking about. Who else would like to go? Who wants to go next?
Chris.
Sure, I'll go. I have been playing SteamWorld Dig on the 3DS.
Oh, nice. That's a good game.
Which is really fucking good. Like, this game came out of nowhere for me. You know, I didn't hear about it, and then all of a sudden everybody was talking about it. It's a 2D platformer, kind of exploration-y, where you gotta dig through the ground to reach new areas and get new abilities and stuff. It's way more addicting than it seems like it would be. Like, I don't really know how to describe this game and make it sound like fun. Because you're digging through the ground with a pickaxe and, yeah, you know, trying to reach new areas. You know, it doesn't sound all that appealing, but, like, when I pick it up and play, I don't want to put it down. And I end up sitting there playing it for, like, a couple hours.
It's like a cross between, like, Mr. Driller and Metroid.
Yeah. That's a pretty good comparison, actually. You know, it's really cool, and I like, you know, just digging more and, you know, finding, you know, the drill so that I can, you know, drill through these rock blocks instead of just regular dirt, and, you know, being able to dig faster and, you know, find the ability to jump higher and stuff using water. And it's so addicting. I'm doing a really bad job of describing this game, but
no, cause it is hard to articulate. The only thing I wish that game had, was a few more open areas. Cause there's a lot of digging, and there's some caves you go into, and they're a little more open, but I wish there were more open areas that were more combat based, where some of your abilities could have been used in combat, because most of your abilities are designed around exploration, which is great, but just a smidge more combat would have been nice, because there are enemies and you do fight them with like your pickaxe or whatever. So is that like combat's an absent part of the game? And I'm asking for something that was never designed to be in there. I'm just asking to be a little more robust.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think the combat I wish there were more, but if there were more, I wish it would be more, I agree, robust, because I don't think the mechanics are really designed that well for combat.
No, they're not.
So I think if there were going to be more combat, I would hope it would be, you know, designed a little better or have some more mechanics or something. But
right.
For what's in there, I think it works well enough.
Yeah, the inspiration's
I wouldn't want too much more as it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's super fun. Definitely worth checking out for sure.
That's on the 3DS eShop.
Yes.
And it's really, yeah, because like you said, it came out of nowhere. Like, it went up. I got on that pretty early. I got that on the ground floor. And as soon as I started playing it, that's when it exploded. Like, everyone, like, was talking about it on Twitter. And I'm like, yeah, this game is pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
It became, like, this huge thing. Have you played this, Seth?
Nah, I'm not.
I think you'll dig it. It's funny because I'm drinking.
So that's why we don't think it's funny.
Drinking Crispins.
Yeah, I'm not tipsy at all. This is nothing.
I made that joke when we talked about Mole Mania, but it wasn't as funny because it's on the box.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, I think on the box it says, "You'll dig Mole Mania."
That's so fucking stupid. I blame Miyamoto for this.
The other thing I wanted to talk about, which I wanted to talk about last week and I totally forgot, was DuckTales Remastered, which I was really looking forward to for a while when it was first announced. And, you know, I had some credit from the digital deluxe thing, so I got, you know, $5 off or something on the Wii U. I have never played the original DuckTales, so I was, you know, I figured if I'm going to play it, I might as well play this because, you know, it's not going to come out to the virtual console or anything. I would still like to play the original, but I figured maybe I'd have a different opinion on this from what some other people had, having played the original and, you know, saying this doesn't live up to that. You know, I kind of wanted to go in fresh. I really enjoyed it for the most part. It's pretty basic. I mean, you run and jump, you know, you use your cane to pogo on enemies, and the mechanics don't really change much since you can pick any stage at any time. So, you know, you don't have that progression feeling really. But I had a lot of fun with it. My biggest complaint is that I feel like it doesn't really value your time. You know, I like the cutscenes, you know, as a fan of the show, having the dialogue from the original voice actors, and I feel like it was pretty well written.
These people have got to be like 100 years old. I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
the guy who voiced Scrooge McDuck is like 95 or something. So I doubt we'll be seeing him in anything after this.
Video game, what's that?
He was Wilbur from Mr. Ed.
Yeah.
So this dude's got to be old as shit.
Yeah, pretty sure he's at least in his 90s.
Ah, they got ducks and Pong now.
You know, I do like that they have the original voice actors, so the cutscenes are fun, I think, but they're way too frequent.
That's the only reason why I bought the game. I was watching playthroughs of it, and I'm like, nope, I am not playing that. They give him a fucking radio. He's talking over the... Shut the fuck up! They give him a radio just so he can fucking talk.
They dug all these people up out of the grave, man. Gotta put them to use. Gotta use them.
Right, no, you're right. That's exactly what it is. But, like, Launchpad gives him a radio. He's like, oh, I'll talk to you over the radio. I'm like, nope, no, Dad, not buying this game now.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, I appreciate them being in there, but there's way too many of them. Like, for instance, in the Amazon stage, which I think is... the first one listed, at least. I mean, I say you can go to any stage you want, but I think that's the first one in order. You have to collect like 8 coins to progress, and there's a little cutscene every time you pick one up, and it'll, you know, it'll stop, and Scrooge will say, "Oh, I found this coin." Oh, you know, talk about whatever's on it or something. 8 times in the first half of the level. It's ridiculous.
And the Launchpad's like, "All right, Mr. D." That is what he calls him, right? I haven't watched DuckTales like since
McD,
I was.
Yeah.
McD, all right.
And I mean, you can skip the cutscenes, but I mean, that's the other thing. If you're playing on anything except easy, you have a limited number of lives, and if you get a game over, you have to replay the entire level, and it still plays the cutscenes again. Which is just really fucking stupid. Especially when you're getting these 8 coins, and it's ridiculous. You don't need to tell me about the coin after the first one. You know, it's like what happens in Zelda, but times a million. But, you know, like I said about the challenge, I find it really frustrating that they make you replay the level if you lose, like, they give you 2 lives. I played on normal. They give you 2 lives. And if you die, if you get game over, you have to play the entire level again, even if you die at, like, the boss. And these levels are pretty long. I mean, they're, like, 15, 20 minutes long. And it just, it feels like a waste of time having to replay that again, you know? It feels like the challenge isn't because the levels are particularly difficult. It's just because, you know, they fuck you over by not giving you enough lives. And I started playing on easy, and I feel like it's just, it's not as fun without having a little bit of challenge. So that's why I was playing on normal, despite being a little frustrated with that. Gotcha. You know, the level design seemed pretty good. Nothing particularly frustrating or anything aside from that, you know, difficulty thing. But there's an exception to that. I got really frustrated in the last level, where after you beat the boss, there's this sequence where it's like you're running away from lava, kind of like, you know, at the end of Metroid, you'll have like a chase sequence kind of thing. And there's a sequence where you're running away from lava and you have to jump between these multiple chains. And it feels like the controls aren't designed well for that. They're not precise enough or something. So I got really frustrated. And after trying to play that level like 4 or 5 times and getting past the final boss and ending up dying on something that felt like it wasn't my fault, I just gave up. And I feel like if your game, if you're going to give up on a game with like 2 minutes left, there's a problem there. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it was not my fault. So that really frustrated me. Because I had enjoyed the game for the most part up to that point. It just really, really bothered me that last sequence seemed to be particularly badly designed.
I wonder if that sequence is in the original game as well, because I just beat Shantae on the Game Boy Color, and there's also an Escape the Lava Rocks sequence after you beat the last boss, and it also controls incredibly poorly and not, like, is very intuitive for what you have to do. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that's a way forward thing or if that's actually in the original Capcom game.
I don't know if it's in the original game, although I do know that they added a couple of new levels at the beginning and the end. So that may be just a way forward thing. I can't confirm that. But overall, I mean, I enjoyed the game for the most part, but that ending really, really bothered me. So I don't really know which way I would say if it's worth checking out or not. So it's high praise, I guess.
Smokey laid down.
Yeah, I usually try to calm him or mute it, but since I'm talking, it's kind of hard to do.
No, I know.
He just went upstairs, so hopefully he will not do that anymore.
He's went upstairs. Get the hell out of here.
I didn't chase him upstairs or anything. He did just go upstairs. But that's about it for me. I played some Picross too, but you know, Picross is Picross.
That, you know, that DuckTales thing, like all the talking, like a couple people asked me if I'm picking up Puppeteer or if I have picked up a Puppeteer. I think it came out this past week. Mm-hmm. And the answer is no, for the same exact reason. Like, everything I've seen about it, and the biggest complaints I've heard about it, is that the character, they don't shut the fuck up. And yeah. There's this huge reliance on presentation. And it's also the reason why I couldn't get into, like, Little Big Planet on the Vita, because no one could shut the fuck up. I don't know what it is about, like, the game is about running and jumping. Like, these games are based on, like, very old school mechanics. I don't understand, like, what the need to, like, give so much context for them. Like, I'm running and jumping. Here's a fucking 90-minute story to explain why I am running and jumping to the right. And it's just, it's bonkers. And people are like, oh, Mario games, you're just rescuing the princess. Because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter why I'm running, the motivation. There's no great motivation to run and jump. 4-year-olds do it. And so there's no way I am paying money for Puppeteer, because I would hate that game so much, regardless how charming it is, because I would not be able to get into a game that talks that much.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I liked the cutscenes. It's just that there were too many of them, and I mean, you can skip them, but there are points even, like, if you try to skip the cutscenes in between when you choose a level and then when you start the level, you press skip cinematic and it'll skip past like the little dialogue in Scrooge's office where you choose the level, but then it'll still show him flying through the sky with Launchpad to the Amazon or whatever, and then you have to skip again, and then you'll still see the little cutscene when you get to the Amazon. So I don't need to see this every time I play a level. You know, it seems like it could have been done better for sure. Even you know, knowing that I enjoy the cutscenes and it still frustrated me, I'd certainly know it would bother you, being that you wouldn't want those cutscenes at all. So I don't know. I ended up somewhere in the middle on it. But that's about it for me.
Seth.
I think everything I played this week, I streamed, except for Picross 2. I was playing Picross 2 on Game Boy. This game is bonkers, man. There's like a... It's like world-based instead of just like choosing a puzzle, moving on. Like there's a world, and each world has so many Picross puzzles. But the Picross puzzles are huge. It's 4 15x15 grids for one puzzle. So, like, overall, I guess it's a 30x30 grid, but you do them in chunks. So it takes, like, 30 minutes just to beat one puzzle. And it took me, and I think there's, like, 10 puzzles in a world. It took me a few hours to beat the first world. And then it turned out my battery does not work in that game at all. So I booted up the game the next day, and all my save progress was not saved.
That sucks.
Yep. So I ordered a replacement battery online. I'm going to try to solder that in whenever it comes in.
That especially sucks in Picross, because you can't just be like, oh, I remember how to do this, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You have to completely redo all the puzzles.
Yep. So that sucks. That sucks a lot. But it seemed pretty cool. It looks like there's, like, two different puzzles, like, two different adventures that you can play as well. There's, like, the Mario side, and then after you beat the first world on the Mario side, then you could also, like, play through a Wario side as well, which I guess is just a bunch more puzzles. So there's tons of Picross in there. If you love Picross, there's lots of it. Just try to give one with a working battery.
That sounds like good advice.
I think I ended up paying more for the replacement battery than I did for the game, because I got like a box copy of the game for $4 and the battery was like $4.50 or something. So And then everything else I played was what I streamed last night. And I started off with Sonic the Hedgehog on Sega Genesis, because I fucking love this game. And I love that it's not super fast, and I love that it's heavily physics-based, even if those physics are completely fake and made up within the game. I think the physics are based like on the tilt of the tile that Sonic's standing on, and that's the way the game's programmed.
It's so frustrating, though, sometimes, man. That can really jack up your movement. I mean, you know the rules. Like, if you've played the game many times, like I'm sure some of us have, it's still really frustrating to be, like, standing on something or running, and, like, all of a sudden, like, you jump a certain way. Even though you know it works that way, it's really just stupid.
Nope, I love it. Okay. Love everything about that game.
The game is, it's a fun game. I'm not feeling that.
I finished the game seeing something I have not seen since, like, I was 6 years old, though, and that was Dr. Robotnik still juggling 3 Chaos Emeralds that I didn't manage to get while just laughing at me.
You know, the ending changes if you have them all, but it's, like, it's not a big deal.
No, it is. He is one smug motherfucker if you don't get all those emeralds.
Well, that's true, but I mean, like, the ending, like, that, yeah, he doesn't do that, and then, like, Sonic jumps into the screen. Like, that's literally the only difference.
He still jumps into the screen if you don't get them all. There's different kinds of plants in the background if you get them all. There's, like, these weird, like, they look like swollen hands.
Like, I thought, like, the Chaos Emeralds, like, makes, like, a ring, and then he jumps through the ring if you get them all.
They do make a ring.
Okay.
So that happens, but he still jumps at the screen regardless.
Okay.
So I played through that, and then I can't remember who it was who first suggested it, and I swear, Chris, if it was you, I hate you so much.
I'm pretty sure it was me.
I think it was.
And then everybody just backed me up. They're like, yeah.
I finished playing the game. I said, I want to play this because I want to show what, like, a good Sonic game actually is. And then Chris was like, I think you need to contrast that by playing a bad Sonic game. And Sonic Heroes was brought up all of a sudden. And the next thing I know, I'm playing Sonic Heroes. And I fucking – that game is a mess. That game's worse than I remember it being. It does not work. It's stupid. Half the time you're not doing anything, and the other half you're just switching between these inane abilities between different characters that all control extremely poorly to do stupid shit in a glitchy environment, and it's not a fun game. I hate that game with every fiber of my being. I fell through, like, platforms on several occasions. Tails would hit some invisible limit when trying to fly. It's just a poorly constructed game. So I played that.
Good for streaming, though, because the people who were watching seemed to be having fun.
I was hating every second of it. Every second. I think I played some Tony Hawk Underground after that. I played a lot of that, actually.
You played that for a while, yeah.
Yeah. That game, it's all right. There's a lot of stupid... It's when they started adding a lot of stupid bullshit into the games, like driving, which is ridiculous. It controls awful. It looks awful. The cars look like they're straight out of Cruisin' USA or something. It's just horrible looking. And there's a lot of bullshit. And I finally stopped playing when, like, I was doing a mission to, like, do a wall plant. And I kept doing a wall plant over and over and over and would just not give me this mission complete. So I stopped playing that. Then I think we switched to GBA games. I played some... What do you like?
I like Tony Hawk.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Underground 2 is where I stopped paying attention to the series. Oh, yeah,
well, Underground 2, I never even played because I was like, damn it, Jerry, fuck that asshole.
Yeah, it was basically Jackass Tony Hawk version, right. I think, at that point.
I liked Underground because it introduced a more... It was more narrative-driven, and it had, like, the, you know...
You liked it because it was more narrative-driven, Craig?
At the time, yeah. No, at the time, I did. I liked the idea of having a story to go along, you know, instead of having these two-minute runs through a fucking random hangar or whatever.
No, like, that was my favorite. That's what I like there.
I like all of them. I do like all of them. I do... I mean, basically, one through Thug... I really enjoy. I also really liked American Skateland on the DS.
Oh, yeah, that was good. That was a good game.
Which was, you know, sort of like the handheld adaptation for American Wasteland on the consoles. And I have that, but I just couldn't get into it. I didn't enjoy it as much as I enjoyed Skateland. So, yeah, just really one through Thug and Skateland. I really enjoyed it. I wish there was something to come back to. I wish even they just brought it back. I wish there was just, like, even just ports on handhelds. You know, they had that HD update, but it's not even...
Yeah, that HD port.
Why is that not on Vita?
Because Vita?
You know, I would totally play, like, a newer, like, competent Tony Hawk. They're not that hard to do. Then they come out with these skateboard peripherals. Nobody wants to play your skateboard peripheral, man. But maybe then again, maybe they just exhausted their ideas for, like, traditional Tony Hawks. You know, honestly, maybe the series could have just used a rest, and I would like to say it's had a rest. And just have, like, a sort of nostalgic throwback to it and put it on handhelds, and I think it might do okay.
They don't need to be driving cars, though.
No. The cars control like shit.
I don't need to drive cars in my skateboard game.
Nah, that was a bad idea. I don't disagree with that.
And, I think that game also introduced getting off your board and running around. That could control a lot better.
I didn't think that was so bad, but okay.
It's very, the way the character interacts with the environment is very unnatural looking. It's really, like, herky-jerky animations and just weird. Like, you can climb up onto a wire and then you immediately jump off because it's a wire. It's weird. It's just weird looking.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. Perhaps the different engines were just not designed to do all that shit.
The idea is not bad. I think if it was implemented better,
I really like Firefight. Do you ever play the multiplayer mode Firefight?
Is that where you do tricks and shoot fireballs at each other?
Yep. If you do a trick and just land it, you'll shoot a fireball. So if you do just like a flip trick right on the ground, like you'll just shoot a tiny fireball. But if you do a bunch of tricks and link them together, you combo them. Once you end the combo, the bigger the fireball based on how many tricks you link together. And that's basically like a deathmatch multiplayer mode for Tony Hawk. I actually bought the network adapter for that and played that a shit ton online. I fucking loved Firefight. That was so good.
did anybody here ever play Tony Hawk's Project 8?
No.
No.
I played the demo for that. Is what I think it was. And it was, like, weird. It was, like, too realistic, and then, like, zoomed in on your board so you could, like, control your feet. It was basically, I think it was, like, Skate did it so much better because Skate's, like, you know, stick flips, you know, we were flicking the sticks, made more sense in an arcade context. But Project 8 or whatever, where it zoomed in and then you manipulated, like, really just slowed down. It was really stupid. It didn't make any sense.
Yep. I played the demo and I hated it.
I hated it, too. Couldn't stand it. No way. And then Skate did, you know, I want to say something similar, but the idea was kind of the same, but, you know, put it in a more arcade-style context where it made more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nah, I think Tony Hawk's definitely a franchise they could bring back. I mean, there's a lot of potential in there. It's just really fun just to skate around in those games.
Oh, yeah. It's one of my favorite games. It's doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. So they should stop fucking around and stop adding stupid, pointless shit and just get back to their roots and make something good.
Yep.
I played some Gunstar Superheroes on GBA. That game's crazy. Like, the graphical effects in that game, like the rotating and the spinning. The rotating
levels and stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. It is mind, like, there's one where you're, like, wing walking on a plane, and, like, when you turn the plane stays upright on your TV. There's just the level. The entire background and all the enemies coming at you from the background, those rotate around. And then there's a level that's like an homage to Flicky, where you collect a bunch of baby chicks, and that one, like the whole level, it's a big circular area, and you just run around. It's like inverse Mario Galaxy, I guess. And you just run around on the inside of this area, and all the platforms and stuff rotate with you. It's crazy. It's really crazy stuff.
I like that game a lot.
Yep. I hit a wall, though. It just got way too hard for me, especially with trying to chat and stream and everything. And I was only able to beat, I think, the first two or three levels, and then I just gave up because it gets tough. I think there's a shmup level where you're like controlling a helicopter, and you're a big helicopter. You don't move that fast. I just cannot beat that level. It's actually surprisingly fun. The first time I played it, I had just come off the first Gunstar Heroes, which I was playing co-op. So I was like, this one's not co-op. I don't want to play this. So I gave up pretty early. But it's actually really damn good once you get into it. I played some... I can't even think of the name of my Japanese boxing game. Hajime no Ippo the Fighting, which is a boxing game made by Treasure for the GBA. I bought it because I was buying all the Treasure games, but somebody told me it was like Punch-Out. This game is nothing like Punch-Out at all. Like, it's a boxing game, and that's how it's like Punch-Out, I guess. Basically, you're a pair of gloves. That's all you see of your characters, two gloves, and then you got your opponent in the background, and he's a huge-ass sprite. He just takes up the entire screen, like, from his torso to the top of his head. And they're really well animated, but I just don't know what I'm doing in this game. I think you push nothing to block, and then maybe you push A to dodge, but I can't really tell when I'm dodging because I'm just a pair of gloves, so I don't even know if I'm actually dodging or not. And then you push B to punch, and then you push different directions along with B to punch. But see, I'm used to punch out where you're controlling like one glove with one button and the other glove with the other button, which isn't the case here. It's just B for both gloves. So I'm never sure what glove is going to start punching. As far as I can tell, just hitting B neutral starts doing like some quick jabs with your left glove, and then left and right start doing like these hook shots. But I can't tell. Like, if I hold left and start punching, like, it'll alternate between the left and right glove, and I don't know why. And sometimes it stops early, sometimes it keeps going, and then up and punch is an uppercut. But I started off doing really poorly, really poorly. Then all of a sudden I started doing, like, super good. Like, I was just knocking down dudes out like crazy. And then I got to one guy who had a ponytail, and he just whooped the shit out of me. So I can't even tell if it was fun or not. I was mashing a button, and sometimes I was doing really good, and I was feeling good about myself, so then it was fun. And then other times I just didn't know what I was doing, and I was not having fun. So I don't know. I probably need to, like, play that game or not distracted by a million different things. But it definitely looks good. It's a good-looking game. I think that's all I played. I played a little bit of Klono in there. People wanted to see me get mad at a video game.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. It was brief, so not really worth talking about, but that's all I played.
Cool. I guess that's about it then. Hey, quick question. Do either of you plan on picking up Grand Theft Auto 5 the day after tomorrow?
No, I plan on waiting to see if there's a next-gen version, or I'm waiting for, like, a collector's edition where they'll inevitably throw all the DLC, like, together into one package.
Yeah.
So, probably a year off from playing, I think.
I think at so least. Too. I don't have any interest in this, and I feel so left out because, you know, it's huge. It's everywhere. I mean, I rarely watch TV, and I've seen commercials for it. And I feel kind of left out because I watch the commercials. And I'm just like, I don't care. I wish I kind of did. But I was wondering.
I mean, coming off four, I thought was fucking not a very fun video game in the slightest.
I would argue that four is not a good game at all. I could probably spend a half an hour arguing that. I don't think it's a good game.
So I have, you know, there's no hype built up from playing four because four was a downer, especially after playing like San Andreas, which I thought was super fun.
Yeah.
So four sort of killed any build up hype. And to be fair, what I've seen of five so far looks good, but I can wait. I can wait until there's a more economical package to buy or there's a better version of it or whatever.
It seems really complicated to me. I think is what it's turning out. Like, being big or complicated was never Grand Theft Auto's, like, not being big enough or not being complicated enough was never Grand Theft Auto's problem. So being, like, bigger and more complicated kind of...
You mean, like, the character switching and stuff like that?
Yeah, character switching, yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, apparently there's, like, different kinds of missions where there's, like, heists and stuff like that. And then, of course, you have the whole multiplayer component where, like, you have to get, like, car insurance or something. I'm just
what?
Like... No, I'm not kidding. You have to get insurance. Like, you have to put your money in the ATM, otherwise someone can kill you and take your money. And I'm just like... And I'm some people are like, whoa! And I'm like, I can understand being excited about that, but... From my perspective, look at that and go, this is way too much fucking shit to keep track of.
Yeah.
I can never do that.
Yeah, I don't plan on picking this up, but I feel like I say that for every Grand Theft Auto game. And for some reason, I own like 3 Vice City, San Andreas, 4, the DS one. So I may end up picking this up at some point. But I think I'm
with Seth where like I'll probably end up picking up later when they put the DLC into it. And I can't imagine like if they do re-release it with the DLC, it would be very – at that point, it would be weird if it didn't come out for Xbox One and or PS4.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give it a chance. Like I don't want to badmouth the game and not play it. I mean I just know from my – I know what I like. And I know from my perspective what I would be interested in, and it's probably not Grand Theft Auto 5, but I'd be really giving it a chance down the line. So I'd rather wait and see what they come out with.
I think for a successful Grand Theft Auto game, it needs to be fun even when you're not doing any missions. And GTA 4 just it was cumbersome to control the cars. Didn't control.
Everything was cumbersome to control the characters, the cars, everything.
Yeah,
the character,
and the environment wasn't particularly exciting either.
No, you could shoot pigeons and buy bagels. There was nothing to do in that game. And then fucking, the only thing you could, there were mini games to be fair, but they were stupid. And
no, those were awful. Those were bad.
And, hey, cousin, you want to go bowling? No, fuck off, Roman. I want to go bowling. Get off my nuts. Who thought that was a good idea?
No. I do like that there's a lot of wilderness in GTA 5, looking at the map, anyway.
You know, the thing I kind of like Red Dead Redemption. It still wasn't my thing, but, like, what made Red Dead Redemption a little more interesting to me is that it injected more of, like, an action-adventure kind of game mechanics in there. Like, there was a bit more of a flavor. Still not enough, but... I don't know. I look at the size of that map, and I'm like, I still don't know how fast travel works, because fast travel is fucking garbage in 4. They punished you for fast traveling. You had to call a cab. And then pay for the cab, and then you'd have to sit there and watch the cab travel in real time. You could skip that, but you had to pay more money to skip that.
What?
So you could skip ahead to your destination, but it would cost you twice. You have to pay twice.
That's so stupid.
Absolutely. So I don't know how it works in 5, but you can't have a map that size and not have a competent fast travel system. I'm sorry. Especially if you're just off fucking around. If I want to fuck around, I don't want to have to, like, get in a car and drive through the stupid fucking traffic or whatever.
I want to just get on a Sanchez motorcycle and just blast through those mountains out there.
I can understand that. I can understand that. But I don't know. Like you said, coming off 4, I don't know. I'm willing to give it a shot, but not at the moment.
Yeah, I figure I'll wait till it gets cheap, because I usually end up buying these right away and then, you know, fucking around a little bit, driving around the city or whatever, and then never touching them again. So,
and especially
hopefully I don't get sucked into the hype this time like I usually do.
Oh, I know that's the problem, because it's, you know, there's that, you know, that feeling to want to play with a lot of other people playing the CB.
Yeah, exactly.
I get into that too, but I mean, for me, like, especially coming off Saints Row 4, like, I hate, like, the pissing contest between those two games. I don't, I like, Call of Duty's better than Battlefield. I don't get involved in none of that. I don't care. But at the end of the day, for me, Saints Row 4 is more appealing. Mm-hmm. So, like, coming off something that is, you know, somewhat similar, but more skewed towards my taste to play something that's, you know, again, similar, but not skewed towards my taste, it might actually make me hate the game more.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. It'll probably be best for me to wait and distance myself from Saints Row 4.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just play Saints Row 3 instead, because I have that on PlayStation Plus.
You should play that. It's a great game.
Rather than go blow a bunch of money on Grand Theft Auto and end up hating it. Yeah. If I end up hating Saints Row 3, at least I won't have paid for it.
Yeah. No, definitely give that
a shot. It does sound more appealing to me than Grand Theft Auto, though.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's more skewed, and it's good. It's good that people who like Grand Theft Auto have that Grand Theft Auto that appeals to them, and I have Saints Row, you know, but I wish more people like Saints Row so I could feel like I'm part of what right. everyone's playing, but I'm not, because I just don't dig Grand Theft Auto. You know, looking back, I don't know if I really ever truly, like, got into Grand Theft Auto. Like, I mean, I played 3 a lot, like I think a lot of other people did. Because
mm-hmm.
3 was a novelty. I mean, there's nothing else like it. But I never finished 3.
3, I think, is the one I played the most of, but I also never finished it.
But, I mean, I played Vice City. I played San Andreas. To me, like, they got bigger and more complicated. And people liked that. But me, I was just like, there's way too much garbage to keep track of. Like, 3 was too simple. But mm-hmm. to me, San Andreas, there's a lot of good aspects of San Andreas, but they're like, hey, here's how to pedal your bike. As soon as that happens, as soon as the game starts and you have to, like, pedal your bike, I'm like, oh my god, what the fuck is up with this game? And it does not start off like robbing a house or something like that. Like, it starts off considerably more complicated than 3 ever was. So, I don't know. The series just got more complicated. 4 got less complicated, but with a way more emphasis on its narrative, which also didn't appeal to me.
Right.
I really liked Chinatown Wars, though.
Chinatown Wars is fun.
That drug dealing minigame? Holy shit, put that on iOS. I will play only that.
it's like super arcadey. It's like an arcade version of GTA. Yeah. Like, just ditching the cops, the whole mechanic of, instead of like having to ditch them, just smashing so many cop cars in a wall is like Burnout or something.
Yeah.
That just made, there's like a whole new level that was just fun as shit.
Yep. No, Chinatown Wars was totally my jam. So I think really overall, 3 and Chinatown Wars were the ones that I enjoyed the most. I don't have a whole lot against Vice City or San Andreas, but, you know, like I said, they got progressively more complicated with more reliance on the narrative, especially after, like, what they call him Fido or Claude. I don't think the character in the first game, in 3 rather, really has a name, but people call him Claude or Fido. And, you know, because he doesn't talk, he doesn't have a personality, there's not as much of a narrative going on in that one. But, you know, with Vice City and San Andreas, there was, you know, sort of an expansion in the narrative component because your main character does have a personality and does talk.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to watch these fucking cuts. I don't care. I don't fucking care, man.
I loved San Andreas. I mean, it was just Boys in the Hood. It was like, oh, okay, whatever. I can watch this.
That's, yeah, but I mean, I guess that's why, like, that's when you could see they were starting to get, like, with Vice City, there was still that air of silliness. Because it was almost like a spoof, really. I mean, it was a little more, I mean, like I said, it was a little more reliance on the narrative, but it was still a bit silly. With San Andreas, it was still silly, but I mean, I think that they were trying, you could see the serious angle they were going for before they ended up at 4, which was way too serious.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of silly parts in San Andreas, such as the blind Chinese racer guy or whatever.
There is, but I think there was less. I think there was more. I think they were skewing more towards the serious. Like, there was a stepping stone between Vice City and 4.
Yeah, and then like you said, and 4 is just
They scaled back the gameplay and ramped up the seriousness. And the first time you play it, like, you turn it on for like the first hour or so, you're like, dang, look at this fucking city. And then in the second hour, you're like, dang, this is fucking nothing. This is an empty ass city. it's an interesting series. I guess a bit of a, I don't want to say love hate. That's not quite right, but I go back and forth on it. I guess I prefer the games that have been inspired by it more than the actual series itself. So if nothing else, I have GTA to thank for that. But unless you guys have anything you'd like to add, we can end the episode there.
I'm good.
All right. Well,
first for me.
All right. I want to thank everyone for listening. And until next time, you guys take it easy.
Boy.
Do the fart.